Thank you. That was nice, Helena Manger. It's also my son as well, so there we go. He takes his singing talent after his dad, that's for sure. Anyway, it is very nice to be here, and if it's your first time here in the hall, thank you very much for coming.
It's been
a while since I've been in this hall and seen so many people in this hall as well. When I was a lad, I used to come along to the Bible class in here, and it used to be packed like this too. So thanks so much for coming, and we do know that God will bless you for coming along to this meeting tonight. Perhaps you're sitting to yourself, wow, that's a bit different. Why is there a big hole up here on the stage or platform filled with water? And not only that, steaming water, hot water. Hopefully we'll explain that in a few moments' time. I want to read a couple of verses, please, in the book of Acts in chapter 2. Acts and chapter 2, New Testament part of the Bible. If you've not got a Bible with you, just listen, and that's absolutely fine. Acts chapter 2, and we'll read firstly in verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to these words, or my words." So let's jump down to verse number 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man," thank you, "approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible for he should be holden of it." Down to verse number 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse number 38. Or verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse number 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And that's all I want to read tonight, and God will bless these verses to us this evening. It's a great subject, the subject of baptism. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I spent the whole day in one of the secondary schools in Airdrie speaking on the subject of baptism. And it threw back a lot of questions and a lot of different things from these teenagers. And it's good to have questions on some of these subjects. And it's a massive subject in the Bible, the subject of baptism. It isn't something that you see happening every single day. You will see very soon Anna and Bethany, Bethany and Anna, better do it properly, coming up here, going into the water, being taken and put right under the water and brought back up. For those who have never seen it before, it happens pretty quick. We don't really hold on for any length of time when they're under the water. We bring them back up, and you'll see them very, very quickly down and back up again. But I want to think of the whole, what's the purpose of this whole thing called baptism? And what is this thing called baptism? Well, first of all, I want to think about three things, and these three things apply directly to Bethany and to Anna as well. And that's the whole reason why they're being baptized. First of all, one of the reasons they're being baptized is because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or their forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to think of the fact that they are following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got four children. They're all here. That was Samuel who was singing to us earlier. And especially the two boys, they like to follow us around. And wherever we go, they follow afterwards. And it's quite a nice thing to see someone following. It's a bit of a challenging thing too when they follow and they do the same things that you do as well. Well, these two young ladies are going to be following after the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know every single person sitting in this room here, but when it comes to the subject of obedience, I know this for a fact, we're rubbish at it. We are. Because number one, if we're not saved, that means if our sins aren't forgiven, then we're not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. And if we are saved and we're not baptized, then we're not doing exactly what we were told to do by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are baptized and we're not living life as Christians as we should be doing, then we're not obeying him. Obedience. How's your obedience, by the way? And then the last thing I want to think about is the future. Because these two young ladies have got a future. I know they'll be getting excited about Christmas and Santa Claus coming and that sort of thing. I'm sure they will be. But what is their future? Forget about the future in this world. What is their future eternally? And not because they're being baptized, but that's a great thing. But because their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then their future is secure. One day,
who knows when it's going to be, but one day they are going to be with their Lord and their Saviour, Jesus Christ, forever. For eternity. They're going to be leaving this world behind, and they're going to be with him in heaven for as long as we can keep on saying for the rest of the night, and ever and ever and ever and ever. Why is that? Well, it's because their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the whole point of these things here. There's Peter. You all know about Peter. He stands up. What an audience he has. I often think about Peter standing up and speaking to all these people, and everybody sort of hanging on every word that he says. Hopefully you'll be doing that tonight as well. Hopefully you won't be falling asleep if it takes too long. We started late, so I'm going a bit later as well, so that's okay. You won't be falling asleep. But they're hanging on every single word that he's speaking about. They're listening to everything that's coming from him. They're waiting to hear what's going to happen next. And then he speaks directly to them all about a person that they know all about. Jesus of Nazareth. This one who was among you, and he did fantastic things, these miracles and these wonders. You watched these things happening. And then he goes on and says this. You have taken, and by wicked hands are crucified. Well, that very person, that very one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the very one who, as a young girl, these two young ladies, at separate times they did, trusted as their own and personal Saviour. What does that mean? It's a very, very big, broad statement. I'll explain what it means. It means that, of course, they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. I assume, maybe it's wrong to assume, but let's just assume. I assume that every single person in this room here knows all about Christ. You know all about him. You know all about his birth. You had a little boy singing about him. I mentioned him a minute ago. You know about these things. You know about God's Son leaving heaven and coming down into this world. We've been thinking about it so often recently. Mary brings her firstborn son and wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger. And that little baby that was lying there was God's Son, is God's Son. The very one who came into the world to show to every single person God's love. Isn't it great what the Bible says? So simple, so clear. For God so loved the world. We're good at loving people that love us back, aren't we? We're good at giving things, and we're going to get things back as well. And yet here's a God who loves us so much, whether it be young ones that he's across here, or older ones, I won't point the end, it's fine. Whoever we are, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And coming into the world, why? So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? But have everlasting life. And that's the whole point here, because these people, they listen to all these things all about the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear about him and it pricks their conscience and it speaks to them. I wonder if it speaks to you about Christ. I wonder what does speak to you. Do you ever stop and say, my, what's out there? What's going to happen next? What's going to come next? What's it going to be the day after tomorrow? There's lots of people who thought today was going to be the end of time for some bizarre reason. The Bible doesn't say that. It speaks very clearly what's going to happen in future events. But listen, have you stopped to think of Christ? And to think of the fact that he is there for you and he wants to be your Saviour. Well, these two young girls, they did exactly that. They realised that when Christ Jesus came into the world, well, the Bible says he came into the world to save sinners. And that's the case for every single person in here. If this is a children's meeting, which it isn't, I would say, put your hand up if you live in this world. And you'd all put your hand up, because most of you do, so all of you do. I would hope. Well, therefore, that applies to you. He came into the world to save you from your sin. That's what happened in this verse here. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. Our sins can be forgiven. We can be forgiven for the things. God looks down on us. And God sees every single thing about us. He knows absolutely everything. There's nothing. We're very good at hiding things, aren't we? My wife has to be good at hiding my Christmas presents, because I would try and find them otherwise. But we're very good at hiding behind things and putting on a kind of a mask or a charade or a fake us, if you like. But God sees through all that. And God sees past all that, and God sees right into our heart, and sees our hearts that are filled with sin. And the Bible says that sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death, and sin means separation from God. Therefore, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, what does that mean? I'm rubbish at maths, but I can work this one out. It means you, and it means me. We can be saved from our sin. And that's these two girls, that's their exact experience in their life. There was a point in their life when they realised, wait a minute, the Lord Jesus Christ, I've sang about him, I know about him, I think even of him dying upon the cross in Calvary, wait a minute. He died there so that I could be free from my sin. He died there so that my sins can be forgiven. That's what it says. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, they're forgiven. Because their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question tonight? I quite like asking questions. What's your faith in?
Who is your faith in? The only way for you to have your sins forgiven is for your faith to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you to be trusting in Him. The Bible says this. There was a man one day who asked a question. He says, well, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back and says, well, all you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then you'll be saved. There's no maybes or ifs or buts or could be's, but you shall be saved. You will be saved if you believe, if you trust, if you have faith. Then your sins are going to be forgiven. And Peter stands up and he speaks to all these men here, and they listen to him, and they react in this. They want to have this forgiveness. Can I ask you another question? Do you want to have your sins forgiven? Do you want to be right before God? A just God and a holy God. I hope you realise that one day you're going to meet God. Every single person here is going to stand before God. Whether you're saved or you're not saved, you're going to stand before God one day. And you're either going to be going to be with Him, or you'll be taken and cast into the lake of fire. That's how serious these things are. That's how important it is for us to get right before God. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right before God. Therefore, we have to go God's way and trust Christ as our Saviour. Have you done that? Well, these two ladies have done that. Or this girls, whatever you want to call it. These two, they've done that. They have put their faith in Christ. They have trusted in Him. Their sins are forgiven. And because of that, well, what have they done? They've received the word. That's what it says in verse number 41. They that gladly received His word were baptized. So that tells us very clearly and very plainly, for those who are going to be baptized, they have to be an age that they can understand what the Bible says. They have to have an age that they can understand that they can be saved from their sin by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, then they're ready and they're fit to be baptized. Now, what's going to happen very soon is they're going to be taken out here and put into that water. There's nothing special about that water. It's from Whitburn, of course. It's not going to be special. Sorry about that. I apologise for Whitburn. But there's nothing special about it whatsoever. They're going to come out. It is quite warm, I think. Graham has some soap such with them, to go in there. You know, they're going to come out and they're going to be taken and put right down under the water. Nothing special about the water, but what's special is what it's showing and what it's signifying and what it's testifying and proclaiming, showing out to every single person here and also before God as well. Again, another emphasise again that God sees absolutely every single thing that we do. He knows every single thing about us. I find that a real challenge, actually. Every single thing. He knows if we're saved or we're not. He knows if we're following or if we're not, do we belong to Him. So, first of all, their faith, their forgiveness, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they're going to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the next step. It's as simple as this: obedience, following after, doing exactly what they were told to do by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ, by coming out and by being baptised. Now, they are not going to be saved because they're baptised, they're being baptised because they are saved, to show to every single person that they are, that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are identifying themselves to Christ. It's like walking along to school. I didn't really go to school when I was younger. That's the reason I'm not very bright. I go more now than I did when I was younger, to be honest. But you're walking along the school, or however you go to school nowadays, and people see your nice school tie. I hope you wear a school uniform. It's nice to see a school uniform. And people say, oh yeah, I recognise them. They go to whatever school it is. In my case, it was Colville High School, the best school in Scotland. That's where he goes to. People look at us and they can identify who we are and where we go by the way we are. Listen, that's what it's like tonight. These two girls are going to identify themselves as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it signify? What does it mean? Well, it's a simple act of obedience to show to everyone as a symbol that they have died, as they died, they've been taken and been put into the water and under the water and brought back up, is the fact that they have died and have been buried and they've risen again, symbolically of course, to be as just as their Lord Jesus Christ, to be following after the Lord Jesus Christ, to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, to do exactly what He did as well. The Lord Jesus Himself even went through the waters of baptism. But first of all, the most important step for them was their faith, was their relying upon, was their trusting in, and then after that is the following after. I wonder if we're all following. I wonder who we're following. You can follow different things in your life. You can follow lots of different things. And usually what you do and what you follow after really shows what your heart's going after as well. Now, isn't it great? There's two young girls here who are challenged and who are exercised before God, who see the requirement to show to every single person who is here. Maybe you go to the same school as her, maybe you, I don't know, whatever it may be. To show to you that they are belonging to Christ.
as it were, to nail their colours to the mast, to show exactly who they are and who they belong to and what they want to do. They're going to do that. They're going to follow after. They're going to obey him, and they're going to be dying to this world and being buried to this world and rising again to follow after him. Are you going to follow after him? Are you going to follow that example as well? But more importantly, follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ too, as he was taken and put into the waters of the River Jordan, which I think were probably a little bit different from that kind of water there as well. Again, to show and to signify. So, what's it all about? Well, it's all about their faith that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about following after the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also about their future. But their future is secure. Their future is secure because they have trusted Christ as their Saviour. But not only is their future secure, in a sense, because they're following after him. And there are so many examples that are given to us in the Bible that tell us all about baptism. The word baptised just actually means to immerse or to be fully wet. Now, I was at a school, the same school I was speaking about at the start, and I was speaking on this subject, and a young girl put her hand up at the end, not a young girl, she's probably 15 or something, and they had to excuse, this is the Western Scotland English. My English wouldn't be like that, of course. She said this, are you telling me, she said, that my mum and dad did wrong with me? She's sorry? Well, are you telling me that my mum and dad didn't do what was right? Again, I said, sorry? She says, well, you're telling us that baptism means to be fully immersed right under the water, and I gave them references like the Lord Jesus Christ himself being baptised. He came up out of the water, and lots of examples in the Bible that show to us that it's the idea of going down and coming right up out of the water. Even the man who was in his chariot got out of his chariot and went down into the water and came up out of the water. She said, well, wait a minute, that didn't happen to me when I was younger, because when I was younger I got water sprinkled on my head. So would that be right? She said. I said, well, what do you think? No, she said. She said, well, that's what the Bible says. So I need to speak to my mum and dad about this, she said. So I said, well, have a look at the verse. And I read this verse, it was up on the screen. They that gladly received his word were baptised. I said, let me ask you a question. What age were you when you had water sprinkled in your head? 3, she said. Right. I said, what had you received when you were 3? Huh. I don't know, she said, food probably. I says, well, that's exactly right. Had you received the Bible at that age? Had you received the word of God? Had you received Jesus as your saviour? No. She said, well, that's not right. And off she went. I don't know what she said to her parents, but that's the whole point of the whole story is this, that it's nothing to do with anything getting sprinkled in your head or anything like that at all. The Bible doesn't speak about that. It speaks about being fully immersed in the water, again to signify that we're away and alive and resurrected again to follow after Christ. So it's the idea of going right into the water and brought right back up again, out of the water. That's what's going to happen to these girls very soon. I think sometimes find that baptism is a little lump in my throat, because I just think it's a tremendous thing. Here's two people, possibly more tonight, I don't know, it would be great if that was the case, who want to show to everyone that they're following after their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Are you? Well, I trust that you are. And I trust if you're not baptised, you're thinking about these things. And I trust if you are baptised, then you are truly following after the Lord Jesus Christ and being part of a local church as well, and doing what you can for God when we can. Because we are really bad, aren't we? We're really bad at not doing things straight away. I don't know about you guys, but I'm dreadful at it. If I get homework, you know homework, school holidays, I know, but anyway. But if I got homework, I'd always put it off to the last minute. And on the Monday morning, at school started back, I would do it in the bus going to school or something like that. The dog ate it or something. I didn't even have a dog at the time. But we're really bad at putting things off. But listen. You only have one life to live. If you're saved and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore you're called a Christian, because you're one who follows after Christ, one who adheres to Christ as an idea, then you should be doing what you can for him right now. No tomorrow, no the week after. Oh, I'll do it again, I'll do it later, I'll put it off now. The Bible says we should be getting on with things and living the life that we can right now. Well, what about the future? Well, these girls' future is secure. Why is it secure? It's secure because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what happens to them in their life, no matter what they do, they might become the greatest brain surgeon ever, Bethany. Do you fancy doing that? No. No. Okay. Anna, you might swim the channel 4 times backwards. No matter what their future is on this earth, their future in heaven is safe and secure. Why? Because they trusted Christ as their Saviour. What about your future? Is your future secure? This is a challenge now. Just 2 weeks ago, my grandfather died.
And I was in the room with him the day before he died. And he said this. He says, "Son, I just want to get away to heaven. I just want to go and see my Lord." He says, "I've spoken about him for years, and I just want to go and see him." You see, that's what happens when you've trusted Christ as your Saviour. Your future with him is secure and it's safe, and one day you will be there with him for eternity, forever and forever and forever. However, I do have to add a little other part to that and say this, warn you, that if you haven't trusted Christ as your Saviour, if you haven't turned to him, if you ask the whole idea of repentance to turn away from your sin and to believe in Christ, then your future, well, it's kind of secure as well, in so much as you will never ever be with God. But you'll be separate from God for eternity. You'll be in hell, and then eventually in the lake of fire, and separation is a dreadful thing. There is nothing worse. Separate from God, why? Because your faith was never in Christ. Who's your faith in? Future. The future can be secure. Your future can be bright. Your future on this earth can be. If you're a believer in Christ, if you're following after Christ, what a great future you have as well. And these, I've got a challenge for these two young girls as they continue on their lives as believers. Keep on going. Keep on showing who you belong to. Keep on testifying. Keep on speaking to people. And I can speak freely about this subject, because when I was at school, and I know some of you guys are still at school, and you do a phenomenal job at preaching the gospel. You do a tremendous job about speaking to friends and people you don't even know about Christ and about your Saviour. You know something? That is fantastic. Keep on doing it. When I was at school, I would have done the opposite. I was dreadful, absolutely dreadful at it. And it's an embarrassment to me. Keep on doing it. Keep on following. Because your future is secure. Let's try and get others' future secure as well. Keep on getting after. Keep on trusting. Believing. So very soon we're going to see these two girls coming up here and being baptised. Hopefully you now understand what the whole purpose of this baptism is. Maybe you don't. You can speak to me after, or someone else at the end if you don't. To show to everyone that they belong to Christ, and they're following Christ, and they're obeying him, and they're obeying just after him, doing exactly what he told to do, and just exactly what he did as well. Why? All hinging on their forgiveness and on their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? So easy and so simple. Nothing fancy even about this or about salvation. Believe and be saved. Receive his word and be baptised, and continue and serve him. Thank you.